Are you tired of hearing that publishing is filled with gatekeepers who are impossible to gain access to? So are we. That's why we're arranging for you to meet them at our 2025 Deep Dive Virtual Retreat, which is happening on the 1st and 2nd of February. We've reverted back to a weekend format so that we can accommodate as many of our listeners from across the world as possible. But if you loved the breakout room sessions and workshops from the 10-week deep dive, don't worry. We'll still be including sessions like those before and after the 2-day intensive. Plus, this year we're focusing on giving you access to way more gatekeepers, so expect to hear from agents and editors who've worked on some of the last decade's best-selling books. Subscribe to our Substack or follow us on Instagram so that you can be the first to be in the know as we begin to reveal our incredible lineup each week. Mark the dates in your calendars, especially the 29th of November, which is the early bird pricing registration day, which you definitely don't want to miss.
Hi, everyone. This is Cece. I am so excited to share that I am teaching my super popular Hacking Writing on a Line Level class in November. And this time, it's a 3-day event. We'll spend the first 2 days learning rules and techniques that will help you elevate your writing. And then the third day will be dedicated for Q&A. This class is filled with examples, and I mean it, all examples all the time. So you will leave with an invaluable toolkit to hack your own writing on a line level. Check out the link in my bio on Instagram for more information. I hope to see you there.
Hi there, and welcome to our show, The Shit No One Tells You About Writing. I'm Bianca Murray, and I'm joined by Carly Waters and Cece Lira from PS Literary Agency. Welcome to our October comps segment, in which the fabulous Emily Summer joins us again from East City Bookshop to answer all your comp questions. Emily, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Always great to be here.
Always lovely seeing you. And a reminder for our listeners, if you want to get your own comp requests in for next month, please make sure you do it before the 10th of the month so that Emily can get to it. We got one in late today and I wasn't able to give it to Emily, so now it's going to have to wait for November. So get them in as early as you can. Okay, Emily, here is our first one.
Barred blackjack dealer Nikki Scholes is an opportunist who cannot resist the kind of easy scores she learned from her con artist mother, even as she dreads ending up like her. She steals a Rolex from a one-night stand, which she learns is a fake when she takes it to her local pawnbroker. A furious Nikki turns on the man's phone she also lifted and hears a voicemail revealing he is a pit boss who helped his girlfriend, a judge, get away with killing a blackmailer who saw her flee a hit-and-run. The pawnbroker, who has a fatherly soft spot for Nikki, tracks her down to find out what made her steal the fake watch. A three-way scramble ensues as the pit boss pursues Nikki to get the phone back. She is just as determined to use the voicemail for blackmail, while the pawnbroker is determined to bring the judge and pit boss to justice.
Okay, I love a grifter. I don't love a grifter. I like to read about grifters. So I am always excited about some sort of grifter action novel. And for this one, the first book I thought of, and Bianca, you might have thought of it as well after hearing the description, is Lucky by Marissa Stapley. I know you've had Marissa on the show before, and that is a book about the family legacy of being a con artist and extricating yourself, or maybe not. So in terms of like a con artist grifter book, I would go for that one. And it did very well. It was a Reese pick, if I'm not mistaken. I also thought about Counterfeit by Kirsten Chen, which is about women who go in on a counterfeit purse scheme. So that is new. That has done very, very well for us, but it's not so big that I think it wouldn't work for a comp. So I think that could be one to consider. And then any longtime listeners will know I've got my favorites. And so if something deals with like the criminal underbelly and maybe seems like it's action packed and kind of gritty, I will recommend Jordan Harper. I'm a huge Jordan Harper fan. And for this one, I think maybe his novel Everybody Knows might work. The premise is different. It's more like just a general ne'er-do-well crime family than like a mother-daughter con artist team, but lots of action, very plot-driven, and just an excellent book. So I would look at those.
Okay, here's number two.
Hello. I'm looking for comp advice for my adult fantasy novel. It's a portal fantasy with a 68-year-old main character who's transported into the world of her novels and has to go on a quest to guide the champion to confront the kingdom's tyrannical usurper. I can comp the character arc of the main character to Nina George's Little Paris Bookshop, but the best comps I can think of for the fantasy quest aspect are The Neverending Story and The Chronicles of Prydaine, which are far too old. My writing style leans towards lyrical. Any advice you can provide would be great. Thank you.
Okay, I should say we only had 10 requests this month, which is not a lot, but they were all very challenging, starting with this one, because fantasy and portal fantasies are not my strongest genre. But I like the comp mentioned to the Little Paris Bookshop, because I think that gives a very good insight into the tone and the character and maybe the lyrical nature of the writing. For other more recent portal fantasies that bring us more up to date than The Neverending Story, perhaps, I thought of The 10,000 Doors of January by Alex Harrow, a favorite of East City Bookshop and a favorite of mine to recommend for things like this. Seanan McGuire's Wayward Children series it's an adult series, but that's the title of the series. That's also a portal fantasy. And then a little bit older, but still within the last less than 10 years, Foz Meadows' Manifold World series. I think there's only two of them. The first is An Accident of Stars, but that's another portal fantasy that I would consider for this query.
Wonderful. Okay, number three.
Hi. Hopefully third time lucky with my comp request as my manuscript keeps transforming. It's a literary short story collection, 45,000 words, that links memoir with my Chinese-American family's tragedies and triumphs, which include my mother's suicide when I was 4 years old and my great-grandfather becoming one of the first Chinese-American millionaires. You've suggested Ya Jiaxi's Homegoing, whose descendants of two half-sisters made a great match while I was still covering the Eastern European Jewish side of my family, but I'm now focusing on just one half, the Chinese-American side. You've also suggested Delana Dameron's Redwood Court. Just wondering if there are any short story collections or authors that might make good comps. Thank you so much for your help once more.
Okay, so as soon as I heard third time lucky, I panicked. I was like, oh, if I've gotten it wrong twice before, I don't know if I can do better now. But building on our past recommendations for this inquiry will focus on short story collections. And I know now you're just focusing on the Chinese American experience. So for short story collections that might hit that, I thought of Bliss Montage by Ling Ma. She's Chinese American. This is her follow-up to her outstanding novel, Severance, which has nothing to do with this particular work in progress. But if people haven't read it, I highly recommend it. And then I also thought about Jenny Zhang's collection, Sour Heart. So another Chinese American short story collection. And both of those, they're great writers. Anybody who's a short story fan should check them out.
Thank you, Emily. Number four.
Willow, one of seven heirs trapped in the fantastical Wisteria Palace, is haunted by the death of her dearest sister as 100 suitors enter their home. Under the watchful eyes of the royal advisors, she competes against her remaining sisters in a marriage competition. Only a sister chosen by the future king can access the magic sewn into her blood by the ancient antler tree. Yet Willow never intended to vie for the throne, until a desirable suitor, Theodore, stumbles upon the sisters in their garden. Willow falls fast in limerence with him, seeing him as an escape from her grief and captivity. She wishes to win the crown after all. Theodore competes at the urging of his influential grandmother. Accompanied by a new friend, unbeknownst to him a secret agent of a mysterious organization, he courts the various sisters. Terrified of his growing feelings for Willow and his potential future as king, he betrays Willow while his companion witnesses a sister accessing her magic. The sister's powers have broken their bindings. Sorrows of the Antler Tree is a literary fantasy dealing with themes of inheritance, motherhood, and power. It is a rich descriptive style and draws on my history major to weave a complex narrative in the likes of a reality dating show.
Okay, so my first thought for this one, and I don't know if you said that it's YA, so I'm assuming that it's not. I'm assuming this is an adult query, but the first thing I thought of was Kira Cass's The Selection series, which is young adult, but there is so much crossover between mature young adult, you know, older age young adult and fantasy. We see lots of crossover from YA into adult and vice versa. So I think it could still work. It's a little bit older, but it feels right because it is about a competition for marriage and competition for the crown. Unclear if the tone would work, but I think it sounds spot on. So I would look at Kira Cass's The Selection series and then also maybe just look and see what other people are reading once they've liked The Selection. For something more recent and focused on adults, I thought of Blake's The Atlas Six, another sort of magic competition, and that could work as well. And that's more recent.
Right, here we go. Number five.
Hi, would love your help with comps for my literary gothic novel set in Edwardian Yorkshire. Lonely, principled lighthouse keeper Tam vows to expose a charismatic swindler, Laurie, whom Tam suspects of sabotaging boats for profit. But soon Tam learns Laurie is as misunderstood and lonely as Tam himself. Instead of being his enemy, perhaps Laurie offers friendship or even the romantic connection Tam craves. But can Tam really trust Laurie, or was he right all along that Laurie is a calculating, shipwrecking conman and Tam his next mark? Is a cautionary tale of someone being totally convinced of their good morals and actions, but whose decisions end up coming around to bite them. So I'm trying to avoid comps with too happy an ending. I'd love to comp to Daphne du Maurier's My Cousin Rachel and Sarah Waters' Affinity, as they're both gothic novels about protagonists being manipulated in a similar way, but they're both too old. I thought maybe Clear by Caris Davis could work, as it's a similar setting and focuses on a queer relationship between two men, with one hiding their motives from the other, but would love any more ideas you have. Thank you so much for your help.
Before you even got to your wonderful idea of Clear by Caris Davies, that was my initial reaction. I love that book. I think it is an excellent comp because of the remote setting and the murky, perhaps cautionary tale, not too happy of an ending. I think that the vibe is perfect. So we are on the exact same wavelength with Clear by Caris Davies. Because of that, I also want to suggest Whale Fall by Elizabeth O'Connor, which came out almost immediately, like contemporaneous with Clear. It's very recent too. The setting is more recent. It's early 20th century, if I'm not mistaken, but another remote location, another example of someone who is yearning for connection, finds a connection with some outsiders and similar murky motives, unclear exactly what's going to happen there. So I would look at both Clear and Whale Fall, and I think it sounds great.
Thank you, Emily. All right, number six.
Hi, Emily. My upmarket novel tells the story of a 47-year-old woman who escaped the high-pressure, male-dominated world of Hollywood to move to Belize. She becomes captivated by an abandoned property and a preternaturally bright orphan boy who lives there. She also meets a wealthy expat businessman turned philanthropist whom she hopes to convince to insist with the child's education, and against her better judgment, they become entangled romantically. When a secret she is keeping from him connects her past to the boy, she begins to fear her involvement with the child will end up exposing him to the patriarchal exploitation she's escaped. I'm planning to use Glendy Vandera's Where the Forest Meets the Stars as one of my comps. However, my novel is a bit quirky and contains a fair amount of profanity. Tonally, it's more similar to Kevin Wilson or Ruby Thorpe, but none of their books seem quite right. Ideally, I would like to find a comp with an older protagonist and maybe something about an expat looking for a fresh start. Thanks so much for your help.
Hello, I just turned 47 this week, so I am here for all of the books that have main characters who are 47 or above. I love it, and I love the idea of decamping to Belize as well. I also really appreciate that you included that tonally, the book is more similar to Kevin Wilson and Ruby Thorpe, two of my favorites. If I do nothing else on this show, let me be an evangelist for the great Ruby Thorpe. Read her backlist. Margot's Got Money Troubles is outstanding, but her older ones, oh, she's so good. She should be a household name as far as I'm concerned. So I love the inclusion of those. And I think that if you have a good plot comp and then you mention like in the style of Kevin Wilson or Ruby Thorpe, like people will know exactly what you mean. For a book that is about an expat looking for a fresh start, I would take a look at Half Blown Rose by Lisa Cross Smith. Tonally, it's not Kevin Wilson or Ruby Thorpe. It's not that quirky, but thematically, it is about a slightly older, I say slightly because we know 47 is still young, a slightly older main character than we see in a lot of novels, who goes to Paris looking for a fresh start. And of course, you know, there are things in her past as there always are. So I would look at that one. And then I have to mention a book I just finished. It comes out in January, so it's not out yet, not a good comp yet. But it is the best book I've read recently about a young child unexpectedly coming into an adult's life and the special connection that can form there. It's called Going Home by Tom Lamont, and it's coming from Knopf in January 2025. One of the descriptors of it is like Three Men and a Baby, because it's this toddler who ends up in the custody of his late mother's childhood friends and his dad. But it is the most special, most wonderful book about an adult who finds themselves in the company of a new quirky child and what ensues. It is so funny, so tender. It's just wonderful. So take a look at that one, and everybody else, put it on your pre-order list because it's wonderful.
Happy belated birthday wishes, Emily. I can't believe I forgot, because you have the same birthday week as my husband. So I know you're a Libran.
I am a Libra. Well, happy birthday to your husband.
Yeah, well, happy belated birthday celebrations to you.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Number 7.
My youngest kid just started kindergarten this fall. I can't believe it. And one of the tricky things about my kids being in French immersion is not having French as a foundational language myself. And it's worrying because I need to assist with homework as they get bigger. They're younger now, but I see it coming. We live in a bilingual city of a million people. We are so lucky to have multilingual friends and francophone friends. So I know it's going to be easy for our kids to pick it up at a young age through school and sports and activities. Me, on the other hand, growing up where French wasn't taken so seriously, I'm going to have to make up the difference. And that's where Rosetta Stone has been coming into my life. As the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone teaches through immersion, which is a proven way to learn a language. Instead of memorizing and drilling vocabulary words, you learn by matching audio from native speakers to visuals, reading stories, participating in dialogues, and other practical language skills to fast-track your ability to communicate fluently. There are no English translations in the product. You're getting trained to listen, speak, read, write, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone users especially love the speech recognition feature. As you practice speaking, Rosetta Stone uses advanced voice recognition technology to match your audio to audio from native speakers, and then gives you feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. You can really hone those pronunciations. It offers 25 languages, from Spanish, French, Italian, German, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and even Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. It is the best language program to get because they have been the expert in language learning for 30 years and used by millions. Thousands of companies and government organizations use Rosetta Stone to support language training online. And just in case you were wondering, Rosetta Stone offers 12 more languages than Babbel. Rosetta Stone offers Asian languages, while Babbel does not. Rosetta's offer is a lifetime membership, and no other competitor is offering lifetime memberships. Of all the language apps, Rosetta Stone has the best speech recognition technology, so it compares your sound waves to those of a native speaker for better feedback to improve. They have a patented speech recognition engine called True Accent built into the program. And as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how you're pronouncing the words. With Rosetta Stone, you enjoy a lifetime membership and accessibility on desktop or app. We have a special offer for you guys, 50% off. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. Do not put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. Our podcast listeners at The Shit No One Tells You About Writing can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today.
Thanks, Emily, for everything you do. I've learned a lot from listening to past comp title segments, and I'm hoping you can help me identify a few more comps for my contemporary fantasy. Nursing assistant Alicia suspects her psychiatric patients are actually having visions of the future. When they predict a train derailment, she learns that magic exists, and her employers are lying to her about it. But it is the connection she discovers between her patients and her sister, who died when they were kids, that drives her to risk her family's financial security to protect those patients from the powerful people who want to use them for selfish means. I'm using Inkblood Sister Scribe by Emma Terge as a comp, both because of the strong family storylines and because of the way magic is known to only a few people in the broader world. I've also considered using The Cartographers by Pung Shepard, but I'm worried that moves too far from the contemporary fantasy genre. The protagonist in Bridge by Lauren Bucus has a similar character arc, but my book doesn't share Bridge's visceral horror elements.
Okay, this is one of the call-ins that I love the most, but it also, I feel like I'm going to lose my job because y'all are getting so good at coming up with your own comps. So the trio of Inkblood Sister Scribe, The Cartographers, and Bridge, to me, I think that's great. It tells me that this is very contemporary. It tells me that there is some magic, but that it's not, that, you know, we're not in a completely different world. We're just in our world and we're have some speculative elements. I do agree that Bridge by Lauren Bucus suggests horror, but I think that the combo of Inkblood Sister Scribe, The Cartographers, and Bridge on the whole gives a really complete picture. So well done, and I have nothing to add to that one.
Excellent. Okay, number 8.
Thanks for your help in seeking comps for my women's fiction novel with elements of romance, fantasy, and adventure. Maria and her husband are famous creatives at just 23. He is an Oscar and Grammy-winning musician, and she's a dancer and choreographer on the rise. When he dies in a plane crash, Maria loses herself to grief. 20 years later, at the debut of his portrait at the Art Institute of Chicago, she's sucked into a famous painting, you know the one, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where she and her newfound pointillist monkey sidekick journey from painting to painting, meeting Frida Kahlo, getting lost in an M.C. Escher, and finding that she's not the only real-world traveler navigating the artworks within the museum. While searching for her husband's portrait, Maria encounters a retired conservator chasing joy in black art, a thief stuck in a heist gone wrong, and a professor with a troubled past. As Maria finds herself on this adventure, she finds new love with the professor too, and together they recommit to living their lives fully on the real-world side of the canvas. Like me, Maria is half Mexican.
This is so interesting, and I was just picturing all of the museums and the works of art as you were describing it, and it reminded me immediately of a forthcoming book. It's not out yet, so you would have no way of knowing about it unless you follow NYC Book Girl on Instagram. Her name is Morgan Pager. She works in publishing. She's a writer, and she's also a bookstagrammer, but Morgan has a book coming out, I believe next year, called The Art of Vanishing. And the premise is, if I am not mistaken, because I have not read it yet, is that a woman realizes that she can jump into paintings. And so it has that same museum setting and portal into art. So I would look at that when it comes out, see when it's coming out. I think she got a really nice deal on it, if I'm not mistaken. And for books that are already out, existing comps, I thought that tonally and thematically, it might work for you to compare or take a look at The Saints of Swallow Hill by Donna Everhart. It's not as much of the portal speculative aspect of going into the art, but it is, I think, dealing with finding yourself, new starts. It is concerned with art, and it has that the museum and the art setting. And along those same lines, I would also look maybe at The Last Painting of Sarah DeVos by Dominic Smith, just because of the art connections, and they may appeal to similar audiences. But in terms of the jumping into the art and that wonderful aspect of it, the only thing I can think of is Morgan Pager's forthcoming The Art of Vanishing.
Okay, here's our second last one.
I'm looking for comps for Chasing Northern Dancer, a book club novel. Liz Dunstone might die of embarrassment if she doesn't get her son Sawyer into the right college, move to the perfect house, or earn that promotion. Plans falter when she bails at Sawyer with her estranged father Phil for stealing and crashing her car. Sawyer will finish high school only if Liz goes on a road trip with Phil, inspired by famous racehorse Northern Dancer. Liz plans to humor the old man until she can dump him in a home, but with her marriage collapsing, Sawyer flunking out, and her promotion falling through, she's in no rush to face her mother's disappointment yet again. Phil introduces Liz to the joy of horses and the ambitions and disappointments of his youth. At the forgotten grave of the great racehorse, he reveals this trip is a final effort after years of trying to reconnect. Liz wasn't the reason he left, and appearances aren't everything. Liz arrives to the same home, jobless, Sawyer's future up in the air, but she's learning to ride horses, to break rules, and that falling doesn't always kill you. I found The Summer Seekers by Sarah Morgan, which is too old, and A Turn in the Road by Debbie McComber is not a standalone. I'd love to see themes of family reconciliation, discovering self-esteem, and women aging with courage. Thank you.
Okay, I know I've mentioned this one before, and it's one of my favorites. So any opportunity, if there is a book that mentions family reconciliation and estrangement with a father, I am going to recommend They're Gonna Love You by Meg Howery. Just the best. Beautifully written, perfect for book clubs. My book club really enjoyed talking about it, and it deals very much with a father-daughter connection that has severed and whether or not it can be repaired. Another possibility that may fit more with like the book club tone, because They're Gonna Love You is fairly literary, The Mostly True Story of Tanner and Louise by Colleen Oakley just came out. I have heard nothing but wonderful things about it. It's got the road trip vibes, as you might be able to tell from that title. And it has a young person and an old person. It's not a father-daughter in this situation, but I think it may have that trying to figure things out, trying to decide where the rest of our life is going to go, the questions of connection, multi-generational. I think that could be a really good one to consider.
Do you think Goodbye Vitamin by Rachel Kong would work at all, or too niche?
I did not think about that one. That one has such a specific voice, and she's still young in that one. So I would say maybe not, but I do want everybody to read it because it is just that wonderful.
Yeah, excellent book. Okay, here is our last one.
Thank you, Bianca and Emily, for this invaluable resource. I'm seeking help with comps for my YA historical feminist retelling of the creation of the Iliad. Good girls in ancient Greece are supposed to be quiet, obedient, and definitely not storytellers. Good thing Lyssa, daughter of Homer, yes, that one, doesn't care about being good. She just wants to be heard. And in order to prove she can provide for the love of her life, she must steal her father's name to publish a book that later becomes the iconic Iliad. I'm currently using My Lady Jane and Hulu's The Great as comps due to their contemporary comedic takes on moments in history, but I was hoping for something more recent. I've read many books set in ancient Greece, and I find their serious tone doesn't match my casual voice. On the scale of Aeschylus to Aristophanes, my book is definitely more Aristophanes, though I fear he is also too old to comp to. I would appreciate any suggestions that you might have. Thank you.
So I love the mention of My Lady Jane and the Great, because I think that, as we've discussed so many times in the past, I think tone is just as important as plot, if not more so, in these comps. And that gets at that irreverent tone. And I agree with you. I hear what you're saying, that most of the historical retellings and these mythological retellings, they do have a serious tone that doesn't match with what it sounds like you're doing here. I love this premise. I love the daughter of Homer stealing her father's name. I think that's brilliant. And I can really see a YA audience getting excited about it. Also agree that Aristophanes might be too old to comp, but the book that I will suggest is not YA, but I think it's a really good match and good suggestion. It's called Glorious Exploits by Ferdia Lennon. It just came out, I believe, from Henry Holt, if I'm not mistaken. So it came out this year. And the reason I think it's a good match is because it's very funny. It's very irreverent. It's not at all serious or old-fashioned, but it is set during the Peloponnesian War. And it is written in a contemporary Irish voice. So it has that juxtaposition between the ancient world and the modern contemporary voice and vibe. Several of my coworkers have read it. My boss absolutely loved it. My friend Anton, who's the head buyer at Politics and Prose here in DC, loved it. And I think it would have some crossover YA appeal, or at least would signal to the agents that you're querying, this is what my book is going to feel like. So that's Glorious Exploits, and best of luck.
Do you think they should try and use the TV show Chaos?
I don't know that one. I'm down on the TV. I don't even know that TV show.
Netflix, Chaos. I think it's definitely worth having a look at. It isn't YA, but it is sort of the gods in a contemporary sort of setting. So consider that as well.
Love
Emily,
it.
Thank you so, so much once again for taking the time out to join us. We really appreciate all the work you put into this. For our listeners, please support East City Bookshop. Go to the store, say hi to them, and give back. Because we're all about, you know, literary community here and about literary citizenship. So it shouldn't just be a one-way street. Let's spend money at our indies to thank them for all they do for us.
Thank you, Bianca. And thank you to whatever listener from Utah came into the store this week and I was not there. Thank you for coming in. And I'm sorry that I missed you. I'm always excited when a listener comes in and says hello.
A reminder that this is an unscripted program and our conversations have been edited and condensed and is not a full picture of our feedback or conversation directly with each author. As always, refer back to our written notes for the fulsome picture. Carly Waters and Cece Lira are agents at PS Litera Agency, but their work on this podcast is not affiliated with the agency, and the views expressed by Carly and Cece on this podcast are solely that of them as podcast co-hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views, opinions, policies, or position of PS Literary Agency. A reminder about all the ways that you can support us as a show: rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, tell your writing friends about us. We'd love to help as many writers as possible. And follow us on our Substack newsletter. Get our stacked newsletter on a weekly basis, bonus videos, articles, essays, advice, and more. You can find it at theshitaboutwriting.substack.com. That's theshitaboutwriting.substack.com.
And that's it for today's episode. I hope you'll join us for next week's show. In the meantime, keep at it. Remember, it just takes one yes. Are you tired of hearing that publishing is filled with gatekeepers who are impossible to gain access to? So are we. That's why we are arranging for you to meet them at our 2025 Deep Dive Virtual Retreat, which is happening on the 1st and 2nd of February. We've reverted back to a weekend format so that we can accommodate as many of our listeners from across the world as possible. But if you loved the breakout room sessions and workshops from the 10-week deep dive, don't worry. We'll still be including sessions like those before and after the 2-day intensive. Plus, this year we're focusing on giving you access to way more gatekeepers, so expect to hear from agents and editors who've worked on some of the last decade's best-selling books. Subscribe to our Substack or follow us on Instagram so that you can be the first to be in the know as we begin to reveal our incredible lineup each week. Mark the dates in your calendars, especially the 29th of November, which is the early bird pricing registration day, which you definitely don't want to miss.
Hi, everyone. This is Cece. I am so excited to share that I am teaching my super popular Hacking Writing on a Line Level class in November. And this time, it's a 3-day event. We'll spend the first 2 days learning rules and techniques that will help you elevate your writing. And then the 3rd day will be dedicated for Q&A. This class is filled with examples, and I mean it, all examples all the time. So you will leave with an invaluable toolkit to hack your own writing on a line level. Check out the link in my bio on Instagram for more information. I hope to see you there.